Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Drops the throw. Steps up. Floats a bomb up the right seam. Looking for Anderson. He's got it. They're not going to catch him. He's going to go the distance. Touchdown. Sam Darnold dials it up to Robbie Anderson. 92 yards.
Anderson, too much deflected. And picked up Mosley. He'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
Bell. Into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder, 85 yards.
Pass thrown, there was contact with the quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studios, courtesy of The Athletic, a subscription-based sports news site for real fans. It's a great mix of national voices that you already know, like Jay Glazer, Mike Sandel, Mike Lombardi, the late, great Don Banksort for The Athletic, too, and awesome local writers. In fact, one of my buddies, Harif Hassan, covers the Vikings, and I was just reading an awesome article that he wrote about this critical offseason for the Vikings. So if you're somebody that likes coverage of your own team, great, plenty of that. But if you're somebody that likes coverage of other teams like I do, you can get tons of great writers that cover teams besides your own, and as I said, great national writers too. And here's the best part. Not only do you get first-rate reporting, but you get all kinds of great analysis, advanced analytics, in-depth player profiles, and more. And it's completely ad-free. No clickbait, just great content. Pro sports, college sports, The Athletic has it all. So if you're not subscribing yet, you're really missing out. Want to get in on the action? I got a great deal for you. Just for being a Play Like a Jet listener, you can go to theathletic.com/overtime, all lowercase letters, and you'll get yourself 40% off a year subscription. 40%, that's a lot. Go to theathletic.com/overtime, all lowercase letters, and get all of this fantastic sports coverage in The Athletic for 40% off today. This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And I am joined for Chronicles of Narnia by the resident stat geek at Gangrene Nation, TurnOnTheJets.com, Elite Sports New York, and JetsInsider.com. And, of course, the man who has a lot of trouble saying the word indictment for some reason, Mr. Michael Narnia. What's going on, Michael?
Yeah, I think it's a really good indictment on this podcast that I'm coming back so often and people are reaching out to actually kind of let us know what's going on, give us this feedback. It's a great indictment on how good we're doing. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting. A ton of people were reaching out telling me I was pronouncing this word wrong, but the point is taken and I have improved. So, once again, great indictment on our followers for reaching out and giving us this feedback. Very useful.
I got to tell you, Michael, it's one of those things that I would notice when we were taping, But then you would be giving long answers with a lot of information, so I'd be focusing on what we were talking about next, and I would forget to say something. And then a couple of people had said to me, too, I think it was Michael Palace jokingly said to me, I love Nania, he's awesome, and the show was great, but I got to deduct a point for the fact that he said indictment instead of indictment, and I completely forgot to bring it up to you. I just laughed and said, LOL. And then, yeah, a couple of people reached out to you directly and said that, so I thought that was really funny. But, you know, that happens because there are words that we read all the time but don't say out loud, so sometimes we don't necessarily always know the correct pronunciation of them, and then something like this happens, and now I'm pretty sure you'll never forget how to say indictment.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I was just thinking about it, and I was like, I knew that was a word. Like, I've heard that before, but... And if you asked me what it meant, I'd probably think or tell you it meant the same thing as the mispronounced way I was saying it before. But I guess, like you said, it's like just kind of that gray area of like, okay, I've written it this way, but when I've heard people say it, like, it's just kind of like mixing it up. I don't know. Everyone has a couple words that they kind of mess up, and that was it for me. But we have these great followers of this podcast who were kind enough to reach out and let me know. So it's definitely fixed now, and I am a better podcast guest / host now.
One of the words that I remember when I was younger that I would always mispronounce because I would read it all the time but had never heard it said out loud was superfluous. I used to say superfluous, and then one day I heard somebody say superfluous, and I was like, oh, that's how you say it. I've been saying it wrong all this time. That was back when I was in my teens. So it happens. There are words like that you just don't say enough so you don't know the pronunciation. But now you know, and as you said, an indictment of this podcast that we didn't sort this out earlier. But today we're really going to start delving into the Sam Darnold project because, Michael, on the last episode, we started to give an introduction just so people get an understanding for what was to come. And now we're going to start unpacking the games. So let's give a brief review of exactly what the criteria is for this so people have an understanding of where you're coming from when you go over the grades and what went into them for each game as we go through this.
Yeah, so the concept that kind of launched this was I was looking back and just kind of giving a off the top of my head score out of 10 for every one of Darnold's games, and then just kind of thought, like, what if I graded every single play of all these games and then saw if the scores came out to be, because you forget so much about all these games. So that's what I went back and did. And so I graded every single play on a scale of 0 to 10 using decimals, usually on a 0.25 interval, on 0.25 intervals, 0 to 10 scale, and 5 would be a perfectly average play, like, you know, a screen pass, just an easily executed play that takes very minimal effort. 10 would be the best play he's ever made. I only gave out a couple 10s. Throw to Jameson Crowder against Baltimore, I gave that one a 10 as an example. And then 0 would be the absolute worst, most inexcusable mistake you can make. Pretty much always a turnover. For example, the first play of his career, which we'll actually talk about in a little bit, the pick 6 against Detroit, like, that would be a 0, throwing across your body, across the field for an interception. So scoring every single play, or passing play, and obviously not including run plays, just handing the ball off, but any passing play or designed run or sack, anytime he dropped back or had a designed run, I graded any one of those plays on a scale from 0 to 10, 5 being average. So anything above 5 being a positive value play and anything below 5 being a negative value play. And I did some games for some other quarterbacks to get a reference. So then I could scale each game on a scale of 0 to 100 with 50 being average to give him a grade for each game based on what his average score was per play using that 0 to 10 scale for each game. So ultimately, grading every single play, you get a 0 to 100 score with 50 being average, and just went through and did every one of his games. And it was definitely really interesting to do because, like I said, you forget so much about all these games. There's so many little mistakes that you forget about and overlook, and, you know, sometimes you'll just remember all the positive plays, forget the mistakes he made. And also the opposite is true. Sometimes you'll look too much at the big mistakes he made and forget about a lot of really positive plays that I'm talking about Darnold here, but really this applies to any player. There's every single play matters, and you really can only remember, it's only really possible for you to remember a few plays, even if you're the biggest of fans. Like, you watch the game one time, it's so hard to remember everything. So to go back and do this and just put a number on every single play, mesh it all together to get one number for every single game, It was very interesting. And just to get a look at his progress from rookie year to his second year and just all the little ebbs and flows he went through, the hot streaks, the cold streaks, the post-injury and pre-injury ups and downs with his rookie year and this year. It was definitely really interesting to do. And it's definitely good now because I can look back at all these games and have an opinion on them based on, you know, just having rewatched all these games and just put a number on everything, and definitely gives me a better look at his progress throughout his rookie year to this year, and a good stack up of how good each game was independent of what the box scores say.
And the thing that I really like about this, Michael, is that we complain all the time about PFF and how they're completely not transparent with their grading system. So we don't know who's watching it. We don't know what goes into the grading. We have no idea what they saw. We just see a grade, and then we're left to scratch our heads. And that's why we have to do what you're talking about, PFF, because so many times PFF will give a grade and we watch it back and we're thinking to ourselves, how the heck did they even come up with this grade? So you have a very easy to understand formula once it's explained, and it's thorough, and it goes through every play and it goes through every game, and there's no mystery as to how this is being graded. So I think that's awesome, because I wish that PFF did something like this, because then I think their grades would be a heck of a lot more valuable. And what I thought would be cool is, as we go through each of these games and explain to you why Michael came up with his grade for that particular game, we can even compare it to PFF, and that way we could see if PFF's grades make any sense in the context of what Michael evaluated, or if they were just coming up with grades that make no sense, which happens a lot with them. So it'll be a fun thing to compare and contrast. And Michael, let's start with the first game of Sam Darnold's career. And of course, his first pass in this game will always be remembered, because he threw a pick six on his very first throw. And everybody was worried. And it was on Monday Night Football on national television. And people were saying, oh no, what's going to happen here? Are the Jets going to end up getting blown out? Is Darnold going to be some major bust? And instead, after the pick six, Darnold brushed it off and ended up having a really, really good game. The Jets destroyed the Lions. In fact, that was the game where Darren Lee was bragging about the fact that the Jets knew all of the plays that the Lions were going to run, which says a lot more about the Lions and the Jets as far as I'm concerned. They forced a ton of turnovers. Tremaine Johnson actually had turnovers, and Darren Lee. So that tells you how bad the Lions were if those two guys were making plays. And so when it came down to it, on a scale of 1 to 100, you graded this a 64, which is a pretty high grade considering that A, it was his first career game, and B, he did throw that pick six at the beginning. So what did you see that led to this grade?
Yeah, so as you said, the pick six to open the game, that was an awful play, maybe even still the worst play of his career, and obviously he has had some big mistakes turning the ball over, but that one definitely drags it down quite a bit, especially because this was a low-volume game. I only graded 25 plays from him in this game. I think officially he had 21 pass attempts in this game, so they didn't ask a lot of him because they really built up that lead in the third quarter, and they basically didn't ask him. I think he only threw a couple of passes in the fourth quarter, so they didn't need too much from him because of how well everything else was going. So that one play does drag it down quite a bit. That's a play that I would give, or did give, a zero for. That's an example of a play that there's no excuses for, just a complete and utter mistake. But after that, he settled in really well. If you take that one play out, the score I gave him over the rest of the game, just including every other play beside that one, that would equal up to be one of his best games, top three, top four, grade in the high 70s, because he was just very consistent after that game, after that first play to start his career, and really just a positive, here we go using the word, indictment on his ability to bounce back and just shake off that mistake. And that's something we talked about a lot with him throughout his career, just his ability to be unflappable, shake things off, and his very first game was a perfect example of that. After that, not a ton of splashy plays in this game, but he was so consistent. His ratio of positive to negative grades that I gave him in this game, a 3.2, that is the fourth best of his career. So he's really consistent. And again, nothing too flashy, but the best play he did make was that the first touchdown pass of his career, 41-yarder to Robbie Anderson, deep left down the sideline. And the throw wasn't the best on this play. He did underthrow him a little bit. Robbie Anderson made a great contested catch. But what made this play really special, and I gave him an 8.5 for this play, so nearly a 10, few points off because it was a very clean pocket and the throw was, like I said, a little bit short. But what made this play really special was this was a third and two. He easily could have checked it down and taken a first down, but he dropped back and he, this is the youngest week one starter in history. He dropped back and he gives a little shoulder fake to the left to, I think it was Neil Sterling, who was kind of open, but a little bit covered on the left. I think he ran a curl route, gives a shoulder fake, moves the safety and opens up Robbie Anderson. Just with that alone, the safety bites, it comes down, and just a veteran move there from a 21-year-old quarterback, the youngest, like I said, youngest in history. That's what made that really special play. So it was a really promising performance from him to shake that, shake off that mistake and be really consistent from that point forward. The O-line was a rare case over his career, helped him out in that game. The pass protection was pretty good, and he handled it really well, made some good throws on the move, dumped it off when he needed to, had a couple of nice slant routes. Quincy Nunwa hit a couple of throws outside the numbers to Terrell Pryor. It was, he really just really settled in. Again, nothing too amazing, not a ton of splash plays in this game other than that really nifty shoulder fake to draw in the safety and get Robbie Anderson open. But his consistency in this game was excellent after that opening interception.
Like you said, the consistency for me was the key to this game because there weren't a lot of wow throws. Like you just said, nothing super fancy except for that one throw that you mentioned. But that ratio of positive to negative was one of the best that he had for the entire season. To me, it's kind of like when you look at a guy like Alex Smith and you see that he had X amount of touchdowns and very few interceptions. And so you don't necessarily want that to be his ceiling. The Lions game was a very good game, but it wasn't the best that he can be. But if he can have more games like this and be more consistent to go with some of the elite performances that he's had, which we'll talk about in a bit, I think that's what will transform him into a top-tier quarterback, because the best guys generally, when they're not having their best day, they have closer to a consistent but not amazing day, which is more or less what he did here against the Lions. So that will be interesting to see as we go into 2020. If he can have more games that are his lesser games along the lines of this Lions game and fewer along the lines of the next game that we're going to talk about, then I think that he'll be on the right track.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely raising his floor is, that's a big key for Darnold, because even in the second year, the worst game of his career, which of course we'll get to at some point, was that Patriots game on Monday Night Football this year. He really struggled in the last couple games against the Steelers and the Bills. So raising that floor is really important for him, and not having those games where he's, you know, kind of dragging the team down. And to be fair, and we'll get with this theme a lot as we talk about him more, but his worst games are pretty much always accompanied by the rest of the team playing really badly. So it's not like he drags the team down and they lose games that they should win because of Darnold. That hasn't really happened that often because, like I said, when he struggled, usually the offensive line has given up a ton of pressure. There's been drop passes. The defense hasn't played well. They played a good team. That's usually been the case when he struggled, one, if not all, or many, if not all, of those factors applying. So it hasn't been a problem in which he's held the team back with these games, but he's still too often had these performances where he's played really poorly and kind of limited their chances of overcoming these things. So that's something he can be better with. But like you said, just to have those performances where even if he makes a big mistake and doesn't make that many incredible plays, just to be consistent, take advantage of when things are working well, that would be great for his floor to reach that level. And another thing we'll get into is the fact that when the team around him has played well, he's taken advantage at an exceptional level. In this game against the Lions, he was only pressured on 21.7% of his dropbacks, the second lowest rate in any game of his career. And in games like that, he's taken advantage at an exceptional rate. So part of it is the Jets need to help him out a little bit more and kind of not make it so he has to overcome so many difficult circumstances as often. But for him, it definitely would be good to have his lower points be more like this game, in which, okay, you didn't do anything incredible. You might have made a bad mistake or two, but overall, you kept the ball moving, you moved the chains, didn't kill us, gave us a chance, let the rest of the team do the job. And that's what he did in his opening game against the Lions. So it was a good game, even not accounting for everything else that went into it. But you take into account how he started the game, being the youngest starter ever, playing on the road, primetime, it was a great way to kick off his career.
And like you said, the key here is that he's already shown that if things are going okay, then he can roll with the punches. The problem has been that he's not lifting the team when things aren't going well. Now, again, he's very young still. We know this. He's still already, even after two seasons, one of the youngest starting quarterbacks in league history. And so for him to be at that level isn't the end of the world. And even if he never gets past that, it's still a reliable starting quarterback that you're looking at over the long haul. He's not going to be the reason that you lose games, but the test is going to be whether or not he gets to that next level to be that quarterback that can lift the team. We've seen this with guys like Russell Wilson. Now, I'm not saying I expect him to be as good as Russell Wilson necessarily, but guys on that level will take a team like the one that he had in the playoffs this year and almost go on the road and beat a much better team that's a lot less banged up like Green Bay. That's what an elite quarterback can do for you. He's not necessarily going to win the game all by himself, but he can come about as close as humanly possible. So if Sam Darnold can get to that level, and like we said, the consistency and the bad games being more akin to this Lions game than being akin to a couple of the games that we are about to talk about, right, like the next two specifically, that's where the difference is going to be in terms of the jump.
And one last thing on just that whole point of being able to lift the team up or go with it when they're playing well. When Darnold's only had 8 games out of the 23 in his career in which he was pressured on less than 34% of his dropbacks, and that's about league average, only 8 out of 23 games. And in those games, the Jets are 7-1, and the one game that they lost was the game against the Packers last year, where Darnold put up, what is still the best passer rating of his career. So when things have been going well, he's taken full advantage. But there has not been a game where things went like, okay, the offensive line played well, things are really going pretty well, the Jets are helping Darnold out, and he let them down. It just hasn't happened. So you know that if that's all he becomes, then that's still really valuable. The Jets have not had a guy like that in a long time. So that's a quarterback you can win with. That's at least a solid average level, and I think he's proven that he can be that. His numbers don't look that way because the Jets haven't helped him out as much as any other quarterback has gotten help. The offensive line was at a league worst level this season. The skill positions are around that level as well. So if you can bolster that supporting cast, he'll start to put up some average level numbers overall, because when things are going well, he's proven he'll take an advantage. So the more you can do that as a team, the better he's going to look. But the question is if he can make the strides to where he could do with, like what you described with Russell Wilson, overcome everything and give the team a chance solely on your own.
Which he did not do the next week against the Dolphins in week number 2 at home. And what really struck me about this, Michael, is looking at your chart, the positive to negative play ratio dropped a lot. So you went from 16-5 in week 1 against the Lions to 19-17 against the Dolphins. So barely more positive plays than negative plays. And also, when you look at the overall grade, while it wasn't the worst game he's ever played, it was below average. You had an overall of 44. So definitely a step back here from week 1 to week 2. It wasn't a gargantuan step back, but it was definitely noticeable.
Yeah, and this Miami game was interesting because I feel like when I rewatched it the first time, maybe a few months ago or a year ago, that I had the perception he had a really bad first half and then came back with a really good second half to basically balance it out and almost make that comeback from 20-0 and potentially, you know, make it if a few other players on the offense played their part, made a few catches. But looking back, it really wasn't quite as good of a game as I remembered. The first half was bad. As it seemed initially, they were trailing 20-0 in this game. He had the one interception that was really bad, just completely missed the linebacker underneath, looking for a slant to Quincy Nunoff, threw it straight into the chest of the linebacker. So his first half was really shaky, but he did come back with a pretty strong second half in this game, made a few nice throws that weren't converted by his teammates. He had the one nice play where he rolled out to his left, escaped the pressure, kind of made a little spin move to get out of the pocket, then dropped it nicely about 25, 30 yards down the field, dropped it over this, I believe it was the safety, put it in the perfect spot for Chris Herndon. That would have been a huge pickup on a scramble play, hits him in the hands, and he drops it. And that was kind of a turning point for Herndon a little bit, because he started off the season, this was really a rough game for him. There was also the play near the goal line where he couldn't punch it in. There was a play where Darnold, late in the first half, hit him on a scramble, and then Herndon didn't get out of bounds. That cost the Jets a crucial timeout. that would cost him a touchdown a couple of plays later. So it was a rough game for Chris Herndon, but also Terrell Pryor. There was an interception Darnold threw in the end zone to Pryor, in which it looked like a pretty good throw. You look at the location of where he put it. It seemed like it was a well-placed ball, but Pryor, after the ball was thrown, kind of got shoved off of his route. It looked like he quit on it a little bit. And that resulted in an interception. So there were a lot of things like that, but there were also some mistakes that Darnold made. Like, for example, on that Pryor interception, Robbie Anderson was going to break wide open in the left corner of the end zone, but Darnold went to Pryor on the right side for a slightly more contested throw that, while it probably should have been a touchdown if Pryor kind of continued with the route, Robbie Anderson was a lot more wide open. At the end of the first half, there was a play where Darnold there was 10 seconds left. The Jets had no timeouts because of that play by Herndon, in which he didn't get out of bounds. And he kind of, after he looked to his left and nothing was there, then he checked back to his right. And it looked like he was just, with the internal clock winding down, he's just going to throw the ball out of bounds and go to the next play. But Quincy Nunwa was wide open in the back right corner of the end zone. And it looked like Darnold kind of recognized it too late. It was already launching it out of bounds, and he couldn't take enough off of it. He airmailed it out of the back of the end zone and missed a wide-open touchdown to a Nunwa. So, again, like you said, this was not a terrible game. He bounced back in the second half after a kind of rocky first half to start this game. There were a lot of ways his teammates didn't help him out. The pressure was high in this game. And the pressure in this game, he took a lot of pressure in this game, and the Dolphins were not blitzing that often. It was mostly four-man rushes throughout this game. The Jets' O-line could not handle it. So he really did not get a lot of help in this game, but there were also a lot of mistakes that he made. And just to go with what we were just talking about, it's an example of a game where, okay, if his teammates do their part, probably the Jets can come back and win this game. But there are still mistakes Darnold made, like that interception, like those plays near the goal line in which he missed opportunities for touchdowns, plays where if he does the best thing possible instead of, you know, the second best option, like throwing it away instead of hitting a Nunwa for that touchdown, or throwing that pass to Pryor, which was slightly covered, instead of Anderson, who's wide open, plays like that where if he does the best thing possible, it could have been a touchdown for sure, and he wouldn't have to rely on chance or, you know, have to have the timeout from Herndon or have to have Pryor not quit on his route. And those plays could have been more successful and the Jets could have won the game. So ultimately not a bad performance, a loss that was much more on his teammates, and, you know, a unproductive offensive day with only 12 points that was much more on his teammates than himself, but still an imperfect game overall. And there was another positive play. There was a 3rd and 22 play the Jets had in the second half, and Darnold rolled out to his right, kind of threw it deep to a contested Terrell Pryor down the sideline near the pylon, and it went right through Pryor's hands. It was a tough throw, really a really aggressive shot from Darnold, but he put it in the perfect spot for his 6'4 receiver to get it and went right through his hands. So again, he did not get a lot of help in this game, but still an imperfect performance, and there were ways he could have made it easier on himself and his teammates that he didn't do, and that's why this checks in as only a 44 overall grade, but there were a lot of ways he didn't get help in this game.
What really struck me here, Michael, is that you said there was more pressure, and boy, was there, because according to your chart, he faced just about double the pressure in this game that he did in week number one against the Detroit Lions, which is obviously going to make a tremendous difference. Should note, too, that if you have Game Pass and you want to watch back some of this stuff as we're talking about it just to get a better idea, you can do that too, because that way you can see the visual as we're talking about it. But I'm sure that as we're going back over this, you're starting to have those memories again of what happened in these games last season. Michael, I want to bring up something about PFF, but first, we've already talked about how the best way for the Jets to continue Sam Darnold's progress moving forward is to protect him, to make sure that he's safe. The way that you want to keep your home safe if you have a family and you want to make sure that nothing happens to them, or even if you live by yourself, you want to make sure nothing happens to just you. That's why you need SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime, and that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you when anyone's approaching your home. Entry motion and glass break sensors guard the inside. And SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning with 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week monitoring by live security professionals. Protect your home with Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/overtime today and get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplysafe.com/overtime to save on home security today. simplysafe.com/overtime. Now, as I was saying, Michael, I want to bring PFF into the mix here. Let's compare the PFF grades. You gave Darnold a 64 in week one against the Lions. You gave him a 44 in week two against the Dolphins. What did PFF give him for those 2 weeks?
Yeah, so PFF, their scale is a little bit different. It's not 0 to 100. It's kind of different how they do it. A really bad game is more around like 30 to 25, and really good games usually in the 80s rather than 100. But in terms of how it ranked over his season, PFF had these games a lot closer. They gave him a 64 for Detroit and a 60 for Miami. So again, that's a different scale than what I'm using, 0 to 100, but it's still pretty close. And I think the Detroit game is what checks in as a little bit underrated here, or that's it. That was actually his passing grade. So his overall grade at PFF, these two games, 67 for Detroit, 59 for Miami. So I think Detroit is a little bit underrated here. That's a score that's closer to his game against Chicago, which we'll get to eventually, than it is to some of his good games this season. I think they underrated the Detroit game a little bit, and I think the Miami game does check in somewhat around where it should be. 59 is a below average score at PFF, kind of like similar to what a 44 would be like I gave him. So I think that one is pretty decently graded, but the Detroit game, I think, was a little bit better than they gave him credit for. And they probably did knock him off a lot for that opening game pick six, because, you know, pick sixes have, you know, really negative value, and it makes a lot of sense because of just how rare those are. They're big killers, and you need to do a lot to overcome it. And it being a low volume performance, like I said, he didn't throw a lot of passes in that game, only 21. He didn't really get enough time and opportunity to kind of make up the value lost from that. But in my grades, I definitely thought it was a good performance, and he made up for it. I think PFF undervalued it a little bit, but these two games, not too awful with how they graded. I think some of their worst grades for Darnold are definitely not these two games, coming later on in this season and in 2019.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
We get to week three, which is one of Darnold's worst games of the season, again on national television. Imagine that, Michael. The Jets on national television twice in the first 3 weeks of the season, taking on the Cleveland Browns. Tyrod Taylor started this game, and the Jets were up for a while, and then Taylor came out, Baker Mayfield came in, the wheels fell off, Darnold really fell apart, Mayfield shined, and the Browns were able to win this one. A lot of people point back at this as a game that was largely on the shoulders of Todd Bowles, who did a poor job coaching, especially letting this one get away, but there's no way around this. Sam Darnold was really, really bad in this game. His positive to negative play ratio was not good at all. In fact, he had more than double the amount of negative plays than positive plays. He did face a pretty good amount of pressure, but here's what I thought was interesting too, Michael, and this goes to what we were talking about with consistency. The wow plays, he had a 9.4 score as opposed to a 9.18 in the Detroit game, which is a much better overall game. So while he didn't do much that was flashy in that Detroit game, he had a much better overall performance in this game, a little bit more flash, but overall, far worse performance. So it's nice to see those wow plays, but you want to see the consistency. And again, that was the problem throughout a lot of this season. In this game, it was just a mess all the way around. And as I said, one of his weakest games of his rookie year.
Yeah, so the wow score is kind of like a wow factor thing that I came up with that combines the average score of his positive plays with the average score of his negative plays to kind of give you a one-number look at how well he avoided big-time mistakes and how well he put together big-time plays on the positive side. So in this Cleveland game, he did a little bit better than Detroit. And in Detroit, really, the problem was that his average negative score was really low just because of that one interception. And again, low volume performance, so it really affects it. In the Cleveland game, his average positive score is somewhat okay because he did make a couple of really nice scramble plays to Isaiah Crowell in this game. But like you said, he had I gave him over twice as many negative grades as positive grades in this game. Only 8 positive plays I gave him in this game. That's the fewest of any game in his career. I gave him a 14 grade. That's the third worst of his career. And his ratio of positive to negative plays, 0.47. That's the worst of his career. So this game, he was really bad. It was one of the worst performances of his career. His stats don't look quite that terrible, but the Jets really helped him out. He threw a bunch of screen passes in this game that were really successful. I think he completed 6 screen passes in this game for about 60 yards. Through the air, I believe he only averaged completed yards through the air. I think he only averaged about 2.3 per attempt throughout the game. So think about that. Throughout the entire game, his average pass traveled, he averaged 2 completed air yards per pass throughout the entire game. So that would be about 60 yards throughout the whole game, which is really, really bad. So he really struggled in this game. The Jets kind of did a good job recognizing it early on and going to a lot of screen plays, and that's kind of how they were able to actually score some points in this game. But he made some really risky decisions, some plays that should have been intercepted. He did have 2 late in the game. One of them was just a desperation heave, but one was really bad. The Jets were actually driving and kind of putting themselves in position to maybe take the lead late in the fourth quarter, but he threw a really bad interception on, I believe it was 3rd down. Just a ball that, again, and we've seen this quite, and he got better at this in 2019, but throwing a ball that probably should have been thrown out of bounds or into the dirt and just chucking it into the middle of the field. This was the 3rd game of his career, you know, 2nd primetime game, 3rd game in 10 days to start his career, actually. Thursday night game in week 3 after kicking off with the Monday night game. So at this point, probably pretty fatigued, a really rocky start to his career, talking about Monday night football to start his career on the road, coming home for a home opener, and then Thursday night football on the road. So a tough start. He was young at this point. He's gotten better at this, but an interception he shouldn't have thrown. And really his accuracy throughout this game was pretty shaky. There was a throw to Jermaine Kearse that was completed, but he threw a little bit behind him and couldn't get it to the first down marker. And there were just some decisions in this game that were pretty rocky. There was one play where he actually, and this I think is an example of another thing I think he's improved at a little bit, but this being his 3rd game of his career, still struggled with. The pressure was getting to him in this game. There was a lot of pressure, and I think he got to the point where he was really kind of ditching the pocket and throwing it away too quickly. There was one play where Robbie Anderson broke wide open on a corner route on the left side. Could have been about a 20-yard gain, but Darnold threw the ball away really quickly, and there wasn't that much pressure. So I think you kind of saw that get to him. And it's kind of like what happened in that New England game this year. And although I did say he has improved at it, it did happen in that Patriots game this year. But after that game, he did start to improve it. But it's an example of how pressure can affect a quarterback even when the pressure isn't there. In a game where you're getting pressured a lot, when the pressure is not there, you're just kind of expecting it to come, and that's when a quarterback can kind of make some hasty decisions and do things like I just explained in this Browns game, just throwing the ball away when you don't really have to because you're expecting that pressure to come. So that's just the effect of a highly pressured game, even on plays where the quarterback isn't getting pressured. If he's having a game where the offensive line is constantly getting beat, pressure is getting there quickly, he could start to make some hasty decisions, and that's what Darnold did against Cleveland. Shaky accuracy, some really poor decisions. There was one play where he was rolling out to the right after the pressure came. There were a few options he could have thrown to. Chris Herndon was wide open. It would have been a tough throw. It was about 20 yards down the field, but he was wide open. He could have made that throw. Darnold passed up on that. I think it was Robbie Anderson was open for about five. I think this was the first down play. So Robbie Anderson was open for about maybe 5 yards right in front of him for a potential completion. But Eric Tomlinson was in between those two guys, about 15 yards down the field, behind where Darnold was. So closer to the middle of the field than Darnold, who was running towards the sideline. And that's where Darnold threw the ball. He throws it across his body towards middle of the field. Should have been picked off by Joe Skobert, but it wasn't. So just some bad decisions under pressure in this game. And he has made some progress in this. And this is a theme in his rookie season. He has overcome pressure better. He did a better job in 2019. It's still something he's got to be a lot better at. It's still probably his biggest weakness. But in his rookie season, before that, before his four-game stretch to end the season, he was pretty bad in all the games where he took a lot of pressure, and pretty good in all the games where he didn't take a lot of pressure. But then after he came back from that injury and in 2019, he had a pretty good handful of performances in which he was good under a lot of pressure. But to start his career, it was pretty black and white. If the Jets helped him out, kept him clean, he was good. If he took a lot of pressure, he struggled a lot. But since then, it's still an issue. He still had games like the New England game this year, like the game against Pittsburgh this year is another example. Games where he struggled under pressure, he's got to be better at that. But since the start of his career, he definitely has shown some much more frequently shown flashes of being able to handle that. To start his career, he looked like a rookie. In those games where the offensive line was really struggling, he was not able to answer it, and Cleveland was a great example of that.
Michael, there were times in this game when Darnold looked flat out confused. The defensive coordinator seemed to have him befuddled. A credit to that defensive coordinator. It would be really awesome if the Jets had somebody like that running their defense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I forget who was Cleveland's defensive coordinator last year, but just like what they were doing there, it's pretty similar to what the Jets did in 2019. But yeah, Greg Williams was really good for the Jets this year, really similar to that guy Cleveland had in 2018. So for the Jets to go out and get a guy similar to that 2018 Browns defensive coordinator, again, his name escapes me right now, but it would have been it was a really good move of them to go get Greg Williams, very similar to that Browns coordinator.
Yeah, it was a shrewd move there by the Jets to go out and do that. They saw what that defensive coordinator did to the Jets and realized that his defensive system is very similar to Greg Williams, so it would be a good idea to actually go out and get Greg Williams. In fact, actually, I think the defensive coordinator for the Browns was Greg Williams, now that I think about it.
You're right, Michael. It was.
Go figure. How about that? So now, at least, Sam Darnold doesn't have to face him anymore, which is nice, except in practice. How did PFF grade this game compared to the grade that you gave it?
Yeah, this is one of the ones I think I disagree with. So they gave him a 43.5, which is pretty bad, but it's higher than Darnold's game the following week against the Jaguars, which, as we'll get into, was also a pretty bad performance. But I think they definitely grade him too highly here. This is one of the worst performances of his career, and they did grade it that way, but still, I think it was a little too high. But yeah, I definitely think a little too high here because he did not do much of anything in this game besides a couple of nice scramble plays to Isaiah Crowell, although one of those was actually it's weird to say because you don't think of Isaiah Crowell as a receiving back, and he's not, but he probably made the two best pass-catching plays of his career in this game, really helping out Darnold on those two plays. But other than that, there's just really not a lot of positive to go around here, so I think they did overrate him a little bit here, but they did still give him a bad grade, which he deserved.
That's going to wrap up part one of the Sam Darnold Project. Looking back at every single game Sam Darnold has started in his young NFL career with the great Michael Nania. We'll have part two for you next week. In the meantime, if you haven't caught Jamal Westerman talking about his journey from the end of his Rutgers career all the way to the Jets, which included all the postseason workouts, the combine, all the interviews with the teams, and how he finally wound up on the Jets even though he didn't get drafted. Give it a listen. It was awesome. In addition to the mailbag episodes that we did with Chris Nimbley, answering your questions about football, the Jets, and a lot of other things that had nothing to do with football but were just fun, including what constitutes real pizza as opposed to fake pizza. That was a fun discussion that we had. So check those out. And tomorrow, we'll be back with part two of our series, looking back at the Rex Ryan years, stories from the Jets beat with Manish Mehta. Manish has tons of killer stories from the Rex Ryan years, some of which he has never told before. So it'll be your opportunity to hear them for the very first time. If you haven't had a chance to give us a five-star review on iTunes, please go ahead and do that. If you enjoyed the show, it's an easy way to help out. It doesn't take much time. It doesn't cost you any money, but it does a lot for us, so we'd really appreciate it. Don't forget to follow Michael Nania on Twitter, @Michael_Nania. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.